of the furnishings of the tabernacle. And this altar of incense is no different. Let's read Exodus chapter 30, verses 1 through 10. That's where we find the specific instructions for the altar of incense. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. 4 square shall it be. And 2 cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof. And thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about. And 2 golden rings shalt thou make it, make to it under the crown of it, by the 2 corners thereof. Upon the 2 sides of it shalt thou make it. And they shall be for the places for the staves to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once a year, with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. Now, this golden altar that we're going to look at this morning, it was not very large. It was actually the smallest piece of furniture in the holy place. It was 18 inches square. It was only 18 inches wide, 18 inches long or deep, however you want to look at that. It was 18 inches square. It was 36 inches high. So it's not very big. It's rather small. It doesn't stand very high, only 36 inches high. On each corner was a horn on which the high priest once a year would dab blood on the annual day of atonement. So the only thing ever added to the altar of incense other than incense and the coals would be the blood, where once a year they would sprinkle blood on the 4 horns of this altar of incense. God specifically said no drink offerings, no meat offerings were to be made on this altar. Now, God is going to be very specific about forbidding meat and drink offerings to be made on this altar. Golden rings, of course, were placed on both sides through which the golden poles could be placed so that they could carry it as they transported the tabernacle from one location to another. Now, it's interesting because some people say that it only had 2 rings, which would make it a little unstable. But I'm not sure what the purpose of it being unstable would be. But they tried to say, well, if it would cause it to sway as it would go through the wilderness as they transported. I'm not sure what the purpose of that would be. But anyway, priests are going to bring the burning coals from the altar from the brazen altar in the tabernacle courtyard. Now, this is a critical point in the description here. The only fire allowed on the altar of incense had to come from the brazen altar outside, which is the first thing that we encountered when we came through the gates. We had to stop at the brazen altar where the sacrifices were made. Only fire from the brazen altar could be used to light the incense or to burn the incense on this altar of incense. The priest would go out, they had golden censers, they would bring the coals in, place them then in a golden pan that sat on top of the altar. Once the coals were in place, the priest would spoon incense taken from the table of showbread. On the table of showbread, other than the showbread itself, there was a special blend of incense. We'll talk about the blend in a moment. And the priest would twice a day take incense and spoon it, if you will, on these coals that had been taken from the brazen altar. Only fire from the brazen altar was to be used. And God was uncompromising in his orders. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, did not follow this. They are going to offer strange or unacceptable fire before the Lord, disobeying his command. Look over to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered a strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. We see the two sons of Aaron who decided, well, it doesn't really matter where those coals come from. It doesn't really matter where the fire came from, as long as we're burning the incense, right? It shouldn't matter where the fire came from. It's got to be the incense. But remember, this fire came from the altar where the sacrifices are made. Without that sacrifice at the altar, you have no authority to enter into the presence of God. And so here we have the two sons of Aaron who were disobedient and just got fire from wherever they wanted to get it, and God destroyed them. Two sons of Aaron, God destroyed them both. And it's interesting because at the end of those three verses, it said Aaron held his peace. Aaron didn't say a word. Aaron knew that they had directly disobeyed God. And as we get into this a little bit, you'll see the importance of that fire had to come from the altar where the sacrifice was made in order for you to enter into the presence of the Lord. The altar of incense in the tabernacle is there to remind the Israelites that prayer must play a central role in the life of God's people. Now, it's interesting because really the altar of incense, the smoke rising up, is to represent the prayers of God's people. Now, back in those days, remember, the only people who could put incense on the fire were the priest. And so technically, only the priest then could offer the prayers. And so this altar of incense in the tabernacle reminded the Israelites that prayer must play a central role in the life of God's people. And you go, well, if the altar is inside, the people can never see the altar. How does it remind them? Well, the altar itself was in the holy place, but the fragrant odor from the burning incense would rise above the veil. It would actually fill the inner holy of holies where the Ark of the Covenant would sit. But as the smoke filled the Holy of Holies and the holy place, the smoke would also drift outside of the holy place, and breezes would carry the smell outside into the tabernacle court to the people who were offering sacrifices. And they could smell the smoke. They could smell this sweet smoke. And when they did, it reminded them that their prayers were constantly being carried to God. That the priest, you know, had put the incense on the coals, and the smoke was constantly rising to God as their prayers that had been offered for them were being constantly then offered up to God. You know, it's interesting. This concept of the smoke being sweet, and the Jews had sort of the idea that their prayers went through the smoke, and it made their prayers sweet to God. I may have told you this story, but when we were at the when we were at Jerusalem a few years ago, we went down to the Western Wall, and when you get there, only the men, the boys and the men, can actually go to the Western Wall. The ladies have to stay a certain distance back. They make you wear a little head covering, which was kind of unusual. But anyway, we were allowed to go down. And as we were down there, there's people constantly offering prayers at the Western Wall. Well, the ladies and the girls stand back at another level, and they have candy. And they're constantly throwing the candy in the air. And the idea is that as the prayers of the men are being offered up, they would pass through the candy and the prayers would be sweet. Now, you had a lot of little Jewish kids with bad teeth running around picking. I mean, they would walk out with pockets full of candy. It was so funny. But that was the whole purpose, was to throw the candy in the air so that the prayers would go through the candy and be sweet unto God. Well, that's what this incense, the idea, the representation was, that the prayers are offered up and go through the incense, and it makes your prayers then sweet and acceptable unto God. Now, the sacred incense for this altar contained four ingredients. Look over to Exodus chapter 30 and look down to verse 34. End of the chapter that tells us about the ark. Verse 34 of the altar, not the ark, I'm sorry. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto these sweet spices, stacte, and onycha, and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense. Of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that, to smell thereto, shall even be cut off from his people. And so God gave four ingredients. He said, I want you to put into this incense. Stacte was made from a gum resin. It was a tree sap, but it was a tree sap that was used to make perfumes of different kinds, and it was used quite a bit in history to make perfumes. Onycha was made from a shellfish. It was almost like a mollusk, common in the Red Sea, and when it was burnt, it had a real strong, not necessarily pleasant, it had a strong odor. And if you burned onycha with anything, it would increase the potency of the smell. Galbanum was made from plants in the parsley family, which gave it a little bit more of an earthy scent. And then, of course, frankincense, a very famous fragrant tree resin. And so each of these were blended together equally, And the Bible says they were to be tempered together. That means that salt was added. That's how you tempered things. And so these four ingredients, stacte, onycha, galbanum, and frankincense, mixed in with salt was what the incense was to be made of. And God is very specific. You don't make this at your house. You know, oh, that really smells good. I want some. No, God said that blend is to be holy. That is God's blend, if you will. And anyone who dared to make that for his own household would be cut off from the rest of the people. Now, the priest then would refill this special mixture of incense on the golden altar. He would spoon the incense once in the morning and once in the evening. And it would take hours then that those coals that would sit there and they would smolder with that incense for hours at a time. And so the smoke issued from the holy place all day and all night. The smoke never ceased to come off of the altar of incense. The sweet-smelling smoke from incense represents then the people's prayers ascending to God. And burning this incense was to be a continuous act. The smoke was never to stop, which kind of reminds us, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we are to pray how? Without ceasing. It's supposed to be, we should be in constant prayer. The smoke from the incense was never, ever to stop. It was supposed to be constantly going to God. New Testament tells us we are to pray without ceasing. We should always, now that doesn't mean we're driving down the interstate with our eyes closed. Yeah, hopefully. But we should be always in a constant state of prayer. Christians are assured their prayers are pleasing to God the Father. The incense is what made the Old Testament prayers pleasing to God the Father. Christians today are assured that their prayers are pleasing to God because they're offered by our great high priest, who is Jesus Christ. Just as the incense carried a perfumed odor, our prayers through Jesus Christ are scented with His righteousness. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And so our prayers, if you will, pass through Jesus Christ. And it's because of Him that our prayers are acceptable. Our prayers are pleasing to the Lord. In Revelation 8:34, John tells us that the prayers of the saints ascend to the altar in heaven before the throne of God. I'll read that for you real quick. Revelation chapter 8. Says, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Yes, there is an altar in heaven. There is an altar here in the tabernacle. Yeah, but this is where the prayers of the saints come before God the Father. But it is not the smell of burning powder that is pleasing to the Lord. It's not this blend of spices that makes the prayers necessarily pleasing to the Lord. What's pleasing to the Lord is the hearts of the saints are spilt out toward Him. What's pleasing to the Lord is that we come to Him, that we come before the Lord and we pray, that we come and we pour our hearts out before the Lord. That's truly what's pleasing to Him. God's primary desire for His people is that they be holy. Simply going through rituals required by the law, including the burning of incense on the altar, was not enough to make the Israelites right with God. They could be burning incense, but it's if their hearts were not right with the Lord, their prayers were not pleasing. Their prayers were not acceptable, if you will. The Lord wanted their hearts and their lives to be right, not just their formalities. During Isaiah's time, the people were disobedient to God. There was a time during Isaiah, right at the beginning of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, where they are the people, the children of Israel, are being very disobedient, but they're still following the law. They're still sprinkling the incense on top of the coals. God responds to the people in Isaiah 1:13 and says, "Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting." So God says, you know, if your hearts aren't right, you can burn all the incense you want to. That's the snow version. If your hearts aren't right, burn all the incense you want to. I'm not listening to your prayers. I'm not going to answer your prayers. You're living in disobedience. More important, then, than burning the proper incense at the proper time, with the proper fire, with the proper implements, more important than all of that is having a proper heart before the Lord. You know, our hearts must be right before we try to go into the presence of the Lord with our prayers. Now, we as Christians can make this approach to the throne because the Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed us from sin. We have the ability to go before the throne of the Lord because we have accepted the sacrifice made by Jesus Christ, and He has invited us to enter into the holy place with Him. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ being shed and our acceptance of that sacrifice, we are invited then to go in to the holy place where we can meet with God. Because of Jesus Christ, our prayers are inspired by hope and confidence of answers that will come. Because we trust in Jesus Christ, we have the ability to offer a prayer, to intercede, to ask with the confidence that if we're asking and our hearts are right with God, that answers to our prayers will come from the God who hears. Bold incense burned before the Holy of Holies represent those who boldly come before the throne of God. God tells us to come before Him boldly. The incense coming out of the smell of the incense, coming out of the holy place was strong. It was bold, telling us that we can boldly come before the throne of God. Now, as the incense and the tabernacle was unique, so is Christ's righteousness. We cannot bring prayers to God based on our own false claims of righteousness. We have to come before God only through the way that He has said is permissible. Old Testament, the incense, very specific, very unique. God said, this is the blend for the incense. Only that incense was acceptable to Him. We cannot bring prayers then to God based on our own righteousness. We do not have the authority, if you will, based on our own selves, to stand before God or to go before God and ask of anything of Him. We must offer our prayers sincerely in the name of Jesus, who is our sinless mediator. Only through Jesus Christ do we have the authority. Now again, we're going to look next time at the veil. Remember, the altar of incense sits directly in front of the veil. When you go through the veil, you are in the presence of God. You are in the Holy of Holies. You, if you will, you have to go through the smoke to get through the veil, to get into the presence of God. The offering of prayers then, if you remember, as we have talked about, the offering of prayers is only for the priest. In the Old Testament, the offering of intercessory prayer, the offering of prayers for forgiveness, were always done through the priest. The priest would be the ones who would offer up the prayers for the people of Israel. We see this several times throughout Scripture where the priest would go before God and intercede for the people. Well, we're in New Testament. And as we have pointed out several times, all of God's children are considered priests. So therefore, all of us have the ability, all of us who are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, can offer up a petition unto God. And this is this next statement, probably a little controversial, but that's okay. I've been there before. Now, non-believers do not have the right nor the privilege to offer a prayer to God. Think of this for a moment. Non-believers who have not been to the altar, have no authority to come into the Holy of Holies. I mean, come into the holy place. You can't skip the altar and come into the holy place and try to go into the presence of God. Non-believers do not have the right to put the incense on the coals and offer their prayers unto God. Save the one prayer that would be in the acceptance of Jesus Christ as Savior. But, you know, a lot of times we hear of people going, well, I prayed to God this, and, you know, well, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Because if you are not a priest, if you are not one of the priesthood of believers, then you have no authority to be in that holy place. You have no right to be in the holy place. You skip the altar, you skip the laver, and now you're in the holy place. King Uzziah disobeyed God and put himself in the place of priest. King Uzziah is going to, King Uzziah is going to burn incense and intercede on behalf of the people in disobedience to God. Look at 2 Chronicles. Verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. This is the king. He is not a priest. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah, the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the son of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. They're talking to the king. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Here Uzziah decides to put himself in the place of the priest. He's going to go in. He's going to offer prayers, if you will. He's going to offer, he's going to mediate for the people of Israel. And God strikes him with leprosy. You have no authority. Only the priest had the authority to burn incense and offer prayers. The altar of incense was holy to the Lord and was atoned for with the blood of the sacrifice. Okay? It's the blood of the sacrifice that atones for the sin. It's the blood of the sacrifice. It is the blood of Christ applied to our hearts that makes our prayers acceptable. Our prayers are acceptable because we have the blood of Christ. We've accepted His sacrifice for us. We are, through Jesus Christ, acceptable to God. Our prayers are holy only because of Jesus' sacrifice. The only reason we have the authority to go before God is because we have accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And therefore, our prayers are pleasing to God. The altar of incense, we can also, there's sort of two different ways we can look at the altar of incense. Another way is the altar of incense can be seen as a picture of the intercession of Christ. Just as the altar of sacrifice in the courtyard was symbolic of Christ's death on our behalf, the altar of incense in the holy place was symbolic of Christ's mediation on our behalf. Jesus Christ is our mediator. He is the one who actually stands before God and mediates for us. And so the placement of this altar of incense was situated before the mercy seat. Inside the Holy of Holies is going to be the mercy seat. Inside the Holy of Holies is God, if you will. It will be Jesus Christ, who is our mediator, who through His blood, through His sacrifice, allows us to go into the presence of God, allows us to go into the presence of God through our prayers. The incense constantly burning on the altar represents Jesus Christ standing before God, constantly interceding on our behalf. He never stops interceding for us. He doesn't work 9 to 5 and He takes time off. He is constantly interceding for us, just as the incense was to be constantly burning. We can picture Jesus Christ constantly standing before the Father, interceding before us. Remember, the Holy of Holies, there's the veil, there's the altar of incense. The way we get into the presence of God right now is through our prayers. Christ's intercession on our behalf is a sweet-smelling savor to God. It's beautiful to know that God considers the prayers of believers to be like the sweet smell of incense. Again, our prayers are sweet unto God and acceptable unto God because they are scented with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because of Christ, we can now enter God's holy presence by faith. Because of Jesus Christ, we can enter the Holy of Holies. We can enter into the presence of God by faith. We offer our prayers upon the altar, trusting in Jesus, our eternal, perfect, and faithful high priest. We offer our prayers to God because we believe in Jesus Christ. When Jesus then was preparing his disciples for his departure, he assured them, "Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." Now, the power in a name is not determined by the person who is offering the prayer. The power in a name is the character of the individual that bears the name. It's not, "Oh, here is Jeff Snow's prayer." No, it's because I am offering my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus is often added to prayers in a meaningless way. Would you run through it real quick? Some people run through it very quickly. Many prayers are spoken for a mere form of worship, and a lot of times rise no higher than the head of the one who offers them. But every prayer of faith, every prayer truly offered in the name of Jesus Christ, reaches the ear of the God of the universe. David understood what was typified by the incense, and he prayed, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." As we have looked through our, as we've walked into the holy place, there is a veil that stands before we enter into the presence of God. But before we go, or the way we go, is through the smoke of the incense. You know, we're about to go into the presence of God when we get into that Holy of Holies. The way we do that today is through our prayers. And our prayers are offered up to God through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, again, we do thank you so much for this day, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for this lesson, Lord. We thank you for the understanding that we are able to call out for intercession or help, Lord, or whatever. We can do that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. And we just ask that you would help us to understand that today our ability to come before God the Father is because of Jesus Christ, his Son. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us to have a desire to come before the throne, Lord, and to pour out our hearts to you. Lord, we ask that you would be with Pastor this morning as he brings the message. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.